Foster side. They've got Kevin Proctor up there. I know Josh Jackson, I don't think he'll ever leave the Bulldogs, but I understand what you're saying there. Now, Raymond, we've got to say goodbye to our South Australian,
yes, on our
Northern Territory, Queensland and Tasmanian listeners. So thank you for being a part of the program.
But they can listen.
By the way, if you want to keep listening, you can do that, skysportsradio.com.au. And why wouldn't you? Because coming up next, our legend of the game is Michael Kasperwitz.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Three new medicines for the treatment of cancer, syphilis and those living with complications following stroke will now be available on the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. The federal government is investing $27 million to make the medicines at an affordable price for patients. Health Minister Greg Hunt says it'll be life-changing.
We're moving at lightning speed to make these medicines available to patients, but to have medicines for head and neck cancer that would cost over $250,000 available for patients, and medicines for Indigenous syphilis as well as for spasticity for over 2,800 patients will make a real difference.
Meanwhile, the federal government will fund free flu shots for all children aged between 6 months and 5 years. Starting next year, the vaccine will be added to the National Immunisation Program. With an early start to the fire season expected, 50 firefighting aircraft will be dispatched across Victoria. The summer firefighting fleet includes two large air tankers, two 7,500-litre air cranes and another 100 aircraft, which can be put into action, providing surge capacity if required during serious incidents. The fleet will be strategically positioned to protect bushfire-prone communities. In New South Wales, another 53 areas will start the bushfire danger period. The forecast of ongoing warm and dry conditions has brought the normal starting date a month forward. There's a timely reminder for dads this Father's Day. A new Cancer Council study has found men are regularly protecting their children but not their own skin from the sun. Head of SunSmart, Heather Walker, says fathers need to think about themselves too.
The vast majority of dads, so 81%, are reporting that their young children are protected from the sun. Less than half are protecting their own skin from the sun, so 44% of dads. And that's important because we know that men are more at risk of getting and dying from melanoma than women, so it's a really important wake-up call for dads this Father's Day.
Also in news, Australians are refusing to remain silent with a day of rallies planned across the country in the hope of saving a Tamil asylum seeker family from deportation. And two men have been attacked with a knife and a crowbar on Brisbane's north side. Tens of thousands of people have joined in protests across the UK, angry about the plans to suspend Parliament, potentially forcing a no-Brexit deal. Protests have been held in major cities as well as outside Prime Minister Boris Johnson's residence, 10 Downing Street, where people express their concerns over the Prime Minister's intentions.
Stop Brexit!
I never thought, at my age, 61 years of age, I would have to be here in Whitehall protesting against the shutdown of Parliament.
To look after their own interests in a way like this is deeply undemocratic and needs to be fought against.
I'm here for democracy. I'm here because I believe that a person that was elected by, was it 0.1% of the population, should not then be cancelling the elected people.
Taliban forces have attacked the northern Afghan city of Kunduz, setting off hours of gun battles, even as US negotiators move closer to finalising a deal with the insurgents for the withdrawal of American troops from the country. And police in the US say there are multiple gunshot victims after a suspect hijacked a mail truck in Texas. This is Air News. French driver Antoine Hubert has been killed in a Formula 2 accident at the Belgian Grand Prix. The 22-year-old died following a 160-mile-per-hour collision at the track today. A number of drivers were involved in the second-lap accident. The Formula 2 race, which acts as the feeder championship to Formula 1, followed the conclusion of qualifying for the F1 Grand Prix, which saw Ferrari driver Charles Leclerc secure pole position ahead of Sebastian Vettel and Lewis Hamilton. Victorian Michael Zarafa has upset Queenslander Jeff Horn, stopping him in 9 rounds in their middleweight boxing bout in Bendigo. Despite a severe cut above his eye and a weight disadvantage, Horn managed to hold on until round 7, where several heavy blows took their toll before he was knocked down in the 9th round, with Zarafa declared the winner. The Sydney Roosters have secured a top 2 NRL finish with a 22-6 win over Penrith. Melbourne Storm have maintained their top of the ladder position, defeating Manly 36-6. to 6. The match was marred by a spectator who was believed to have tried to assault Melbourne player Will Chambers. Earlier, the Knights thrashed the Titans 38-4 in Newcastle. Ireland have bounced back to ruin coach Warren Gatland's Cardiff farewell with a 22-17 Rugby World Cup warm-up win over Wales. And in cricket, Australia has beaten Derbyshire by an innings and 54 runs. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. TAB, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
On Sky Sports Radio, the Traffic Report.
Adrenaline.com.au has the perfect adventure for Dad this Father's Day. Save up to 50% from V8 Racing to Whale Watching. Click and print, visit adrenaline.com.au. At Penrith, scheduled roadworks has a road closed in both directions on Castlereagh Road between the Great Western Highway and Thornton Drive. Through North Parramatta, light rail construction has Church Street closed northbound at Barney Street and a little patchy over the Rye Bridge in both directions. IKEA is welcoming over 1,000 new products to give your home a fresh start this spring. Discover the new arrivals and pick up the new IKEA catalogue in store now. I'm Sheena Ma, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather for Father's Day. Sunny day coming up. Light winds becoming northeasterly, 15 to 20 k's late in the afternoon. Heading for a top temperature of 22 degrees. Beautiful day in Sydney for the first day of spring. James, what about at Moree and at Crookwell?
Moree Cup Day today, 25 degrees and a sunny day up there at Moree. They're in desperate need of some showers. Gets down to 7 degrees overnight. Crookwell, though, morning frost, a sunny day, 16 degrees. What about Crookwell tomorrow morning? 1 degree.
How far is Crookwell from Goulburn? So how far would Danielle Seep have to drive from Goulburn?
I don't know. What's that, 30 k's? 35 k's? I don't know.
Works hard, doesn't she?
Locals will tell us. But that's the weather at Crookwell.
The ash is well and truly alive because of one cricketer. Incredible scenes.
$2 head coming. Brisbane have done it.
Oh. As Barty, the number two seed, marches on. A professional performance.
The field goal attempt by Reynolds. It's good too. Off the left foot. What can he do? He's ambidextrous.
Liverpool cake.
The Roosters' long range try. How many are they going to score in a season?
The future is now for Alex de Minaur. Advancing to the fourth round here at the US Open.
The Melbourne Storm lock in yet another minor premiership. And for the Manly Seagulls tonight, an unmitigated disaster.
On Sky Sports Radio, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Final hour, Michael Kasperowitz very shortly will be our legend of the game. We're looking forward to that one, Roman. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. A-League and EPL with Phil Moss. And we will speak with Roger Rashid with the US Open underway at the moment. Popper in a bit of trouble there in this.
On serve, 4-4 in the 30s. Lost the first two sets, Popper to Berrettini, so... He's in a spot of bother, James.
We are enjoying our Father's Day today. We're looking at expansion and or amalgamation or execution of NRL clubs, as per today's front page story on the Sunday Telegraph. We'll take your thoughts on that one as well. Did we see the premiers run around tonight, last night, whether you think it was the Roosters or the Melbourne Storm? We'll take your thoughts on that one.
Can any team beat them?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to get a Roosters-Melbourne Storm grand final again. The only the team that I thought was next in line was Manly Seagulls.
Turbo Tom
gone. And what about this one, Raymond? We haven't spoken about this, and we know we've got Michael there. We'll get to him very shortly. 8,274 people turn up to the Knights game against... Now, I know it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
It was raining.
I know it was pouring up there, but...
Is that a reflection on what's happened?
I don't think there's any doubt that's a reflection on what happened.
Because that's the lowest crowd he's had since 1997.
Yes.
And invariably, the Knights supporters turn up with their teams going well or not. So that's a real admonishment, I think, of the Knights hierarchy.
If you're a Knights fan and you didn't listen, and you didn't go to the game yesterday, tell us why. 13:53:53. And just before we get to this, our Father's Day today, for the Winx book and the Wingman beer, two cannibals are eating a clam. We're looking for dad jokes. This one's from Stu. One looks at the other and says, does this taste funny? Up next, Michael Kasperwitz.
That's it, he's out, cotton balls. That's straight drive. The ball's stopping on him just a little bit. And that is the wicket the Australians were looking for.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yes, Casper.
That was Tendulkar, I think.
38 test matches for Australia, 43 ODIs, couple of T20s, and the most first-class dismissal in the history of Queensland cricket. It's our great pleasure to have Michael Kasperwitz as our legend of the game. G'day, Michael.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning, yeah, Michael.
We're really well, mate. Thanks for giving up your time on Father's Day especially. Mm. We do appreciate that. Mate, I know you had a very strong background in rugby union as well, playing Aussie schoolboys, but how did cricket become a part of your life?
Oh, just because I was better at it. Pretty simple. Yeah, I suppose it came in. I think we played against each other, Jim.
Oh, yeah, we did, Michael.
We did, yeah. And I know that's the best part about being a fast bowler is you're coming in, you're bowling fast, feels good, and you can legitimately be a bully.
Did you scot him a few times, Michael? Did you get Jimmy on the back foot?
Well, the idea is, right, that we just got to... Yeah, it's about getting 10 wickets. As a bowler, you're getting 10 wickets, and then all of a sudden we're off. We're sitting off there having a nice cold can of Coke or whatever it is. It's as simple as that. It doesn't matter how you get them out, but as long as you get 10 wickets, that's the way it goes, where it works.
Yeah. How did you start playing cricket? Was there a family link? Oh,
no, none at all. I think it was just back in the good old days of going to school, at state school, and there was a cricket team, and the teacher went around, I reckon, in grade 3. So we were 8 years old.
Yeah.
He came and said, oh, we're going to start a cricket team. Who wants to play? And I think out of the class of 15 boys in the class, everyone puts their hands up and we've got a cricket team.
Good.
And it was just simple as that. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Michael, but as Jimmy mentioned, you were very good at rugby union. So where was the point in your sporting evolution, so to speak, when you realised that cricket was your calling?
I really think it was just a matter of having fun along the way. So you'd whatever season it was, and you'd go and play cricket. You'd go and play cricket. You'd love it. You'd have a crack. Same with rugby season or rugby league. Just go out there and just enjoy it. The interesting thing, I've got a son who's 12 years old. He's pretty good at a number of sports. And the way that it works today is everyone says, oh, they're going to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. I'm thinking, the longer you leave that decision-making process, the better, because you get so many lessons personally and in life and everything else from all these different sports, whether they're individual or team sports. Yeah, I think that's the benefit of just, I was fortunate coming through and, just having a crack.
What about, it happened very quickly for you, Michael. You're 18 years of age. You're playing first-class cricket for Queensland. What was it like to walk into that dressing room? At that point, you hadn't won a shield. That happened a couple of years later. But there were legendary figures from Australian cricket and from Queensland cricket in that dressing room. How was that for an 18-year-old?
I was 17.
17. There you go.
I was 17. I was at high school. And, so, like you said, walking into a dressing room where, with Alan Border, Carl Rackman, Craig McDermott, I reckon 2 years earlier I had posters on my wall. about these guys and just loving the game. It was extraordinary, actually, the process of going through and maybe a good going into a dressing room and old school respect as well.
Yes.
It was a big component of that. And not that it was demanded, but it was certainly something you gave.
Michael, what about when you first selected for Australia? It was an emerging Australian side then in the mid-90s, wasn't it? And there was young cricketers who were going to become legends like the Glenn McGraths, et cetera. What was it? What, was there a feeling amongst that young group that you were on the cusp of something special when you first got selected in the Australian team?
Not really, because you're still playing with some pretty influential and obviously world-class players like Shane Warne. I think the first my debut was at the Gabba, which was kind of special in itself, against the West Indies. And my real memory of that, I reckon I was 24, 23, 24, was going out to bat. And I had Ian Bishop coming into bowl. And he was coming around the wicket. There was a leg slip. There was a short...
You know what you're going to get.
Exactly. It was sort of telegraphed pretty simply. But I managed to hang around for a little bit. So that was it. I didn't get a wicket, mind you, in that. So it didn't follow the fairy tale, I suppose. That's how you envisage any debut for your country or all those experiences. You thought, well, surely I'm going to go out there and get five or get score 100. but it just doesn't quite happen. But for me personally, I end up in the Australian team or getting back into the Australian team over a 10-year period. So it was 10 years I was on this fringe the whole way. I think it was 13 times I was dropped, if you like, but I found a way to find my way back in 13 times as well. So Peter Hellyer, who's on the 7PM project, he introduced me to Function once. He said, look, please welcome the guy who's had more recalls than I had to. Michael Kasmich. So,
just luckily, Daihatsu is not a sponsor of this program, so you're okay with that one.
Okay, I didn't want to close, of course. But
Michael, on that point then, I know you came into an Australian team that was dominating world cricket and did so for an extended period, but when you were... You couldn't cement your spot. Is it disheartening,
Michael?
I think he's dropped out.
I think he's dropped out, Raymond. That was unfortunate.
Hopefully get him back,
There we go. Isn't that amazing?
Because he was in on the cusp of a dominant world test cricket side Australia had at the time with so many great bowlers. And he had to... I wonder if it was disheartening when you continually get dropped and guys get in ahead of you, but then he keeps finding a way to get back,
All right. I think Michael's back on the line there. You better ask that.
Oh, Michael, you there?
Yeah,
I got you back. Yeah, I was just going to ask you, when you dropped a number of times, is it disheartening? What's the mindset? How do you get yourself back into that team?
I think what happens is you realise, and one of the great lessons I learned through sport, offers plenty of great life lessons, was that, the ownership or possession, if you like, of your journey. And so whilst no one gets dealt the same hand, you just got to make the most of it. So every single time I was going into this Australian team was just, if this is the last time I'm here, I'm going to have the best experience. Because it's a funny thing, pressure. And one of the things that I like to think I sell to my kids is that it's funny, the best mechanism, best way to take pressure off the table is by having fun. Go out there and just enjoy it. Have fun and... instinct takes over, as we know in sport. You have to rely on instinct. You can't think too much about it. And really, that's just go there and have fun, have the most fun you can, which was always my theory.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Mm. Because what you've also displayed there is resilience. And if there's one thing that I can teach my kids, I think is resilience. Is, it doesn't always work out the way you think it is.
Correct.
But you get the opportunity. What about 97, 98 over in India, 2001, 2004? You had particular success on those tours. But from what I understand, Michael, that first tour was very tough physically. And there's a story about you basically you didn't have a clue where you were walking around at fine leg at one point. You'd bowled so many overs. Is that right?
Well, it's because I think we went in with two fast bowlers, two spinners, and in both the first test matches in 1998 in India, Paul Rifle, the first test, Paul Wilson, the second test, everyone broke down.
Wow.
So, I refer to that particular series as actually a great, it was a fantastic experience. It was the most challenging experience too, playing on those Indian wickets because they pretty much resemble a dry creek bed.
Mm-hmm.
Not a blade of grass or I reckon a living organism in on those pitches.
Wow.
Which isn't really helpful for a fast bowler, of course. But finding a way to sort of, you know, adjust your skills to suit those conditions was the key. From a personal point of view. And look, I successfully, if you like, lost 8.5 kilos of body weight.
Jeez, yeah.
In about 3 weeks. So because it's 40-odd degrees, everything is the most challenging thing ever. Given the fact I retired 12 years ago, I reckon I'm due to go back there and bowl a few more overs.
Lose a bit more weight.
Absolutely.
Hey, Michael, can I take you to the 05 Ashes series? Because a lot of people are drawing parallels with the current series to what happened in 05. And there were so many famous moments in that test series when everything could have changed. And, of course, a lot of people will forever be asking you about that ball from Harmison. Can you tell us once and for all, were you out?
I think DRS wasn't utilised. It was sort of experimental at that time, and they made the decision not to use it through that test series.
Could have come in handy, couldn't it, Michael? Gee.
Well, it could have because I think as far as highlight and replays, like the right hand, it actually struck the right hand, which was off the bat at the time, and Law 34.1 MP, so the laws of cricket, suggests that it's actually not out. Something like that, anyway. Yeah, but it's kind of incredible, like that last test match. Every single player, when it becomes so close and chasing 50 odd that myself and Brett Lee came so close to doing, every single player will go to that dressing room on the losing side. The winning side doesn't give it, they couldn't care. They're actually celebrating. But on the losing side, you actually, every single player visits how that could have changed. That misfield, the no ball, the extra run, the round out run harder, all those sort of those moments, which is kind of where I think that is the beauty of test cricket when you break it down, is that test cricket, even though it's 5 days and it looks long and all that sort of stuff, every single ball is a moment.
Yep.
And I think that's the beauty of it. And so whilst it was obviously not a great result for cricket, for Australian cricket, for us to lose, it was actually a really fabulous result for cricket and the test cricket because people are talking about it, they've witnessed it. Great for English cricket, but really breaking it down that how simple, how complex cricket is, but at the same time, why we love it for those that love test cricket. Over a long period of time, that the impact that every single ball makes.
Based on that, I'm imagining you have a great deal of empathy for Marcus Harris and Tim Payne and Nathan Lyon and everyone else that was involved in that incredible test match at Headingley.
Whole team. Absolutely. Everyone. Yeah. And like I said, everyone then reflects about, you know, how they could have changed, what they could have done when you pull out of those micro moments. And, yeah. But, you know, it's a great result, as I said, for cricket. And being on the board, being a director of Cricket Australia, I think that's great because people are talking cricket in the middle of football season and come the finals and all that sort of stuff. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that 2005 series, 2-1 England, and it was one of the most compelling test series ever. This current Ashes series is shaping up the same way. Michael, can I take you back to 05 and how England somehow managed to turn that series around, get on top and win the Ashes back? What was the mindset in the Australian team after you came so close at Edgbaston? And can you see parallels with the current team? Can they turn what was obviously a heartbreaking loss and find a way to win the Ashes?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think over a test, an Ashes series, especially a 5-test series, this thing called momentum. And you really, like a footy season, you do. You start getting a few wins, and there's a belief that happens in the team. And the thing in the days of sports science, which is where all sports are right now, is you can't measure belief. It's this it's just this concept that unless you're in a team and experiencing that, no one understands it.
Mm.
I think, when you're sitting in a dressing room, you're looking around at each and every single person in that room, you realize, that doesn't matter how many runs we got or how we've got to take, you look around and there's a confidence in that team, that belief that we can win from anywhere.
Mm.
And I think that's what's happened in this Ashes series, is that both teams have sort of experienced that now, which makes it so compelling.
Yeah. Who was the batsman you didn't like bowling to? Who was the bowler you didn't like facing?
Well, I reckon when it's 45 degrees on a flat wicket like the Pacific Highway in India, Sachin Tendulkar was, for me, the most, obviously the most challenging, because his balance was so good. He wasn't a long way forward, wasn't a long way back. He was just so. Yeah, like I said, he was so awesome. And we struck him in his peak.
Yep.
Obviously, of his career, possibly even maybe kickstarted it.
Yeah.
But I think that was, I played, and interesting, really different people, Brian Lara and Sachin Tendulkar.
Yeah.
In their techniques, but I didn't play a lot against Brian Lara, to be honest. But one was more flashy, like Brian Lara, the way he played. His technique wasn't textbook. Backlift was up nice and high for the.
Yeah.
But you find a way. And I think that's the beauty of cricket, whether it be bowling actions and techniques or batting, the styles. It's about the individual, doing the best or finding a way with what they got.
Mm.
That's why we love it.
And bowler?
Or anyone over 125 kilometres an hour.
125.
Fair enough.
You've included quite a few.
No. I think, there's nothing else. No, you just get out there I used the bat all right when I was a young fella. and you do, but when you amplify, the skill level, and obviously playing test cricket, and you're facing Shoaib Akhtar by 150 k an hour and the whacker, that's challenging.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, most definitely. Hey, Michael, we've got to fly. It's been fantastic having a chat to you. Great to walk down memory lane. An outstanding career. We love your involvement still in the game of cricket, and we're thoroughly enjoying this Ashes series, as I'm sure you are as well. Appreciate your time, especially on Father's Day, mate.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. You've just actually got me out of the kitchen because I received a waffle maker.
and it's your duty to fire it up, I'm tipping, Michael.
Well, it's one of those plug and play one numbers, but I'm actually working on it. So thanks very much, guys. I'm going to enjoy some waffle.
Good on you, Michael. Sure. Happy Father's Day, mate.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
There he is, Michael Cashbridge, former Australian cricketer. As we go to a break, we're just seeing vision of Nick Kyrgios turning up at Flushing Meadows, and he's there in his Lakers shirt, everyone.
6'5", Popperin in the 30s, hanging in there.
He's there in his LA Lakers shirt. It's 28 minutes past 9. Up next, Sports Update with Tanya.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.au.
Dali Stallions have sired three of the five Juvenile Group 1 winners this season, including the Group 1 Blue Diamond.
Liar over the top! Liar's won the diamond!
The first three home in the Golden Slipper.
Kiyomichi in front from Microphone of Liar.
And the Stallion Making Group 1 Sired Project.
And Microphone's won it! Microphone's won the English side.
Start with a Dali Stallion and the rest will follow.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
third round match at the US Tennis Open, and Aussie Alexei Popperin is up against Italian Matteo Berrettini. Berrettini won the first two sets, and Popperin leads the third set 6-5. Nick Kyrgios in action later this morning versus Andrei Rublev. Third round winners overnight and this morning include Rafa Nadal, Novak Djokovic, Alexander Zverev, Madison Keys, and Julia Georges beat the seventh seed Kiki Bertens. In fourth round matches tonight and tomorrow, Ash Barty will play Wang Zhang, and Alex Dimonov is up against Grigor Dimitrov. Melbourne secured the JJ Gilton and Shield for the third time in 4 years last night with an easy 36-6 win over Manly at Lotto Land. The Sea Eagles' defeat further soured with the loss of Tom Trbojevic with a possible ruptured pec, which could be season-ending. The Roosters will finish second after a 22-6 win over Penrith. And after a tumultuous fortnight, Newcastle bounced back to beat the Gold Coast 38-4. Today, Cronulla play Canberra, and St George Illawarra take on the West Tigers. Meantime, Valentine Holmes has been cut, not making the New York Jets' 53-man NFL team. He will likely receive an offer to join the Jets' practice squad. However, good news for Aussie punter Lachlan Edwards, who won the team's punting job in a competition with American Matt Dar. A life-changing moment for Melbourne boxer Michael Zarafa last night. He defeated Jeff Horn with a ninth-round stoppage in their middleweight title bout in Bendigo. Zarafa knocked Horn down twice and was leading on all judges' cards by at least 3 points at the time of the stoppage. Medals for Australia overnight at the Rowing World Championships in Austria. Our women's four claimed gold and qualified for next year's Olympics. Our women's pairs won silver. They were pipped by New Zealand at the very end, and our men's pairs won bronze. Meantime, Jessica Fox won silver in the K1 final at the Canoe Slalom World Cup in Germany. Sunshine Coast Lightning are into their third straight Super Netball Grand Final after a 58-48 major semi-final win over the Swifts yesterday. The Melbourne Vixens play Collingwood today at 1 o'clock in the elimination final. The Basketball World Cup has begun in China. It's week one of 3 weeks of group stages. Winners overnight include Serbia, Argentina, Russia, Spain, China and Poland. This morning at 10:30, Team USA take on the Czech Republic, and this afternoon at 5:30, the Boomers play Canada. Liverpool has maintained the English Premier League's only perfect start, making it 4 wins from 4 matches, beating Burnley overnight 3-0. In other results, Southampton and Man United 1-1, Chelsea and Sheffield United 2-2, Crystal Palace 1-0 over Aston Villa, Leicester 3, Bournemouth 1, Man City 4, Brighton 0, Newcastle and Watford 1-1, and West Ham beat Norwich 2-0. Ferrari's Charles Leclerc has pole for the Belgian F1 Grand Prix. Dan Ricciardo will start from 10th. Sadly, overnight, 22-year-old French driver Antoine Hubert died in a high-speed crash in the F2 race. Australia defeated Derbyshire in a tour cricket match by an innings and 54 runs, bowling the home side out well before lunch on the third day. Mitchell Starc took 7 wickets. And in golf, Aussie Hannah Green, she's at 18 under during the third round of the LPGA tournament in Portland. She's leading that by 3 shots, while at the European Masters in Switzerland, Wade Ormsby is outright second. He's 1 shot off the lead after the third round. Just quickly, boys, back to the fight in Bendigo. The ring card women were replaced by men.
Yes.
At last. Some people are saying that the practice is outdated. Well, if it's outdated, why replace them with men?
Exactly.
And the funny thing is, the men are being now referred to as fight progress managers.
Seriously.
Yeah. It came about by 2 councilwomen from the city of Greater Bendigo Council who said that it is objectifying and not respectful towards women.
What's your take on that, Ken?
Jeez, it's a can of worms, isn't it? Honestly, and this is purely my opinion, if those women are proud of the way they look, they're going and working, it's their job for them, good luck to them.
It's their choice, Ken.
Yeah.
It's their choice.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. Good on you, Tan. Up next, Roger Rashid.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, great to get the expertise of Roger Rashid. We've got a game in action at the moment. Alexei Popperin is
in a spot above
it. He's in a bit of trouble. Let's see whether he can fight his way out of it. G'day, Rog.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, no, he's in a bit of trouble. When you're down a couple of sets, it's a hard road to navigate, especially if you haven't been there before, because
right.
you've got to sort of be able to stay calm. How much do you press? You know, what do you tweak? So it's about navigating it through your mind and going, okay, what do I look after here? And it's really, as boring as it sounds, it's a game by game process of actually trying to work your way and get involved in the opposition serve.
Yeah, it's 5-3 in the tiebreak in the third set, down two sets love against Berrettini. Another Australian, Alex Dimonor, through to the fourth round, Rog, and he plays Grigor Dimitrov tonight. He's going well, Alex.
Yeah, he is. Look, that was a huge win for him. Obviously, first top 10 win in Nishikori. Nishikori played similar type of style. He's probably got a little bit more explosive power, but hasn't been at his absolute premium, Nishikori. So, but to Alex's credit, this court suits him. It's the environment, I think, suits him. In New York as well, because of the crowd get involved in it, so they bring energy as well to the. To all the match courts in New York, and so look, it's been an exceptional road to date. There's still a match in front of him. Grigor Dimitrov hasn't been his best. He's really struggled in the last couple of years, and with his rankings outside top 50, he was a former number three player in the world. He's been a semi finalist of Wimbledon, and so there's a real big opportunity. Grigor hasn't beaten anyone really of any significance to get to this stage. So, Alex, I see this as a 50-50 ball game.
Yep.
On the other... it'll be interesting to see how he deals with Grigor and how Grigor deals with him. Grigor generally would have... He's got more game. He's got more weapons to use on the tennis court, but he lacks the confidence in the match play. So... Yeah, he's won a couple of matches so far, but I think it's a real good opportunity for Alex.
Rog, we've just seen vision of Nick Kyrgios turning up there at Flushing Meadows. He's got Rublev in that game very shortly. He's wearing the LA Lakers singlet. I don't know whether he's trying to antagonise tennis officials or New York fans, but we think he can win, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's a great card. I mean, right now on Ash, I mean, this is as prime time as you get, unless you're playing in the finals at the end of week two. So if you're the last man standing, because when it's a Saturday night in New York and the crowd, this is about the premium crowd that turn up, and they're all engaged. And at the moment, we've got Coco Gauff is 15-year-old. She's taking on Naomi Osaka on center court. So this packed court, I've never heard it so silent during the early stages. So it was almost like I was sitting at Wimbledon and listening to it. There's no noise. Normally this crowd has got, there's a lot of noise around it. As I said, 24,000 people in the stadium. It's very hard to quiet them, but they're silent during and in between points in this match as well. So it's a huge occasion, and Nick follows this. So this crowd's got a great card. I mean, they're going to get their money's worth tonight. That's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. Hey, Rog, what's your take on Ash Barty? She's through to the fourth round. Her most recent win, 7-5, 6-3 against Sakari. That looked probably the best she's played for a while, I thought.
Her tennis is it's getting better during the Open. She's comfortable. The tournament, I think, it's a good environment, good vibe to be around. And I think they warmed to Ash. They've obviously seen her now, and she's winning a Grand Slam and being number one player in the world. So, this match is pretty. It's a tough match against Wang. She's an experienced player. 18 in the world, but experienced and been around. So she's going to have a work cut out, but we really want to see the match up with Serena and Ash in the quarterfinals, because, again, that's a must-view tennis match. There's also a lot of tension will be around that match, and whenever Serena's playing in New York, there's drama. It's a theatre. It's a massive theatre, and it's a drama. So I feel like that means there's great opportunity. She generally brings good game, but Serena's had moments where she's had meltdowns as well on center court, and so I like Ash's chance and opportunities if she gets through to that match.
Well, she did that in a final against an Australian, didn't she? Sam Stosur back in 2011. $1.24 Ash Barty against Wang, and you said Wang's a dangerous opponent, so maybe we want to see Ash go through, but $4 there for Wang. you let's just go with Barty, all right? The
$1.24. Yeah, let's stick with Barty. I think we'll stick with that.
Absolutely. And what about overall? We know that Simona Halep out of the tournament. Have you found another winner of the women's side of the draw?
No, I sit with, you know, I mean, if not Ash can get through there, that bottom half of the women's draw is loaded with seeded players. So Pliskova's still in there, number three seed. You've got Serena, who's, forget about the number near her name, Svetlana, the number five seed. Madison Keys, who was a runner-up here at the US Open a few years ago, to Sloane Stephens, and Ash Barty. So that's a heavily loaded half. If you're going to get through to the final, you're going to be playing some unbelievable tennis because you've got high quality in the fourth round, all seeded players. The other side of the draw, Naomi, obviously playing right now. Yes, we've got a few seeded players, but they're raw in their Grand Slam, in this Grand Slam results. They haven't been to big finals, so we've had some real upsets. We've had a wild card, a young American wild card who's got through and now is a chance, you know, in the round of 16 in the women's side of it. Belinda Bencic, so there's, and Taylor Townsend, an American who came on two or three years ago, drifted away, and she's basically served volleyed her way through to around the 16, which is quite incredible. She's actually again got through and just making her way, just throwing something different out there.
Yep.
And I'm not sure who's told her to do that, but she's decided to go full time into this space. She'll get beaten doing this at some point because it's physically quite taxing, and you've got to be really, really accurate with your serve and your volley. So it'll be interesting to see how long she can get through this period, but it's quite interesting to watch.
Serena, $3.50. Ash Barty, $7.
And who goes all the way on the men's side of it, Roger?
I started with Novak at the start of the tournament. You know, I still stick with Novak. We got some great matches. Novak, Stan Wawrinka, now they've played some big matches before. Stan's got over him at Grand Slam level at the US Open as well. So, you know, we've had Roger's probably still got a little bit of a hang-up from Wimbledon. There's no doubt about that. You don't shake that off immediately. So his tennis hasn't been... It was better in his third-round match. He plays David Goffin, a former top 10 player in the world. Mm-hmm. That's to play the winner of Dimitrov and Alex Diminar. So it's a great opportunity for these guys. But I think Roger gets through to play Novak. And then, you know, Nadal plays Cilic now in the round 16 match. So that's a big match there. So the men's side on the bottom side, I feel like Nick has a really good opportunity if he can lock in to get to a quarters, potentially a semi-finals here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's on court very shortly. Good on you, Roger. Appreciate that, mate. We'll speak during the week.
See you, boys.
There he is, Roger Rashid. Novak Djokovic, $2.50. Rafael Nadal, $2.80. Roger Federer, $7. Nick Kyrgios, $11.
And Popperin's won that tiebreak. So go to the four. He won the tiebreak. Seats at the end of the fourth set with Berrettini, 0-0.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wide-line windows and doors, state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wide-line Liverpool will bring your home renovation to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and auto pickers to their market-leading Toyota Counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. You.
Back in from Danso. Vestergaard attacks there and scores. Manchester United undone defensively again. And Southampton, after their best spell of pressure off the game, get themselves back on level terms. 1-1.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Remember when Mossy used to come into the studio, Ray?
He's a busy man, James.
It is Father's Day, so we understand
very
that.
Good,
good morning, Phil Moss.
A very good morning to you, boys.
I'm supposed to have a dad joke, am I?
Well, we have got dad jokes that have been running throughout the program. We're taking the program in a new direction. It's a ratings grab, and it was Ray Thomas that came up with it. It's gone gangbusters, to be honest, Mossy.
Well, I have to say, I don't have a dad joke, to be honest, but I do have a story. This morning, my daughter, Tiana, asked, can I have a bookmark? She's 15 years old and still doesn't know my name.
It's all in the delivery. It's all in the delivery, Mossy. Very good. You're like a number of our callers that laugh at their own jokes.
I've always been guilty of that. I've got my two kids sitting in front of me right now shaking their heads. You wouldn't believe the look of disdain on their faces.
That's, that's a real dad joke for them.
I'm with the kids. Liverpool very lucky overnight. 3-0.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jimmy. They can't be lucky every week, can they? Oh, surely it's class now, not luck.
They've managed it 4 weeks in a row.
They have, and we'll get on to Manchester United, no doubt, afterwards. But, look, jokes aside, Liverpool and Manchester City did what they had to do overnight, and they march on, and both of them are looking very, very ominous. I still think Pep Guardiola will really prioritise the Champions League this season, but in the meantime, they'll be racking up as many points as they can in the Premier League to go back-to-back again. Mm-hmm. But, I think what really stood out is, and you can only beat what's in front of you, so it's certainly no disrespect to Burnley, who Liverpool got over 3-0, and obviously Brighton, Matty Ryan's Brighton, and Aaron Moy didn't get off the bench in that one, but the class of Manchester City and Liverpool in and around the box, their combination play, their finishing, their understanding, the synchronicity between the players is absolutely at a different level to anyone else in the league.
What do you make then, Phil, of Man U and Chelsea both had draws overnight? They've got off to sluggish starts, haven't they, really?
Yeah, they have. And I'll tell you what, Ray...
Jim just gave me a death stare there too, by the way, for all he's...
Well, it's a death stare of resignation, no doubt, because you're not saying anything that's not true. But, I think as you said, the sluggish start of those teams has really been capitalised on by the likes of Leicester, Crystal Palace, West Ham. They're sitting third, fourth and fifth. It's early days, of course, so we're not paying too much attention to the table. But... another one who's doing not too badly is Sheffield United. They play a really brave 3-5-2 system under their manager. They got them promotion. Chris Wilder, I was looking for his name, searching through the depths of my brain, but Chris Wilder got them promoted playing this system, and they continue to do okay. They're 5 points from 12. First time they've been promoted in 12 years. They got a 2-2 against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, which is not an easy place to go. But, Lampard just hasn't quite settled yet and got the desired start to the Premier League he was hoping for.
All right, give the listeners your moral.
Mm. Yeah, I've got a moral, Jimmy, and you know that I don't have any morals, but given we're talking about finding a best bet, I'm going with Spurs to win 2-1 in the London Derby tonight, and Harry Kane, the first goal scorer. It's paying around the $30 mark. So when it gets up, I expect that you will call that out next Sunday, Jimmy.
Absolutely. More than happy to call that out. By the way, your mate Robbie Slater had a go at you about your first goal scorer when he said, this is it. It was Harry Kane. And he went, Harry Kane, how predictable is that? And he went, Aubameyang. How do you say that? Pierre-Emerick
Aubameyang.
Aubameyang, who's also $5. And I said, well, hang on, he's $5 as well. He said, yeah, but he's harder to say.
Well, the only shock in all of that is that Robbie Slater had a go at me again.
Yeah, that's right.
You're used to Phil. It's all good. Hey, Phil, the Socceroos have arrived in camp ahead of that World Cup qualifier against Kuwait.
Yes, they have. I spoke to Arnie a couple of days ago. He arrived a couple of days earlier than the squad just to get everything done and his reconnaissance ready and clear his brain before the players came into camp. And he was really excited with the squad that he was about to announce, which he did announce yesterday. It's Operation Rejuvenation of the Socceroos. Yeah. There's 12 players with 10 caps or less. The likes of Armini, Borrello, Goodwin,
Ryan Grant, Rustic, who's a player to really keep an eye on. Adam Taggart, believe it or not, he's been around the Socceroos for a long time, but he's only about 8 caps, I think, or maybe even 5. But he's been scoring for fun in the Korean, the K-League with Suwon Blue Wings. So between Taggart and McLaren, obviously he's playing at Melbourne City. That's where we need some goals to come from as our go-to number nines. But, you know, also Matt Leckie, you know, he's one of the elder statesmen now. So there's 400, combined total of 400 caps with our experienced boys, but there's a lot of inexperience as well. So the blend looks pretty good for that Kuwait clash on Tuesday week, September 10.
Up here, like our Tigers get the grand final win over Sydney United. Gee, they've had a tough week, haven't they, Sydney United?
Haven't they? What? They got smashed in the FFA Cup by Western Sydney Wanderers 7-1. But 125 years of combined history between RP Leichhardt and Sydney United, going way, way, way back to the old state league, the NSL. And this was RP's 6th state league title, where captain Sean Simmons got the winner in extra time to give him that 2-1 win. I think Sydney United, in the end, 5 games in 14 days, including that cup loss that you just mentioned, Jimmy probably caught up with them in extra time. But RPS 6th state league title and a healthy crowd out there at Bankwest Stadium, 6,500.
The kids taking you out for lunch or something today, Mossy?
They're just about to take me down to the driving range. I'm not sure if that's to hit balls or to drive me mad. But, was that another dad joke? No, it should be fun.
No, let's on your film. Finish with the one you had. It was a very good one. It was a very good one. Well, as the great Tom Jones says, always leave them wanting more.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, guys.
See you, mate. Great day. Phil Moss there, our footballing expert. 1353 is the open line number. By the way, keep the dad jokes coming in. We haven't found a winner yet. There's been some good ones throughout the course of the morning. Very good. This comes in from Don from Carlton. He's crawled out from underneath his Rockdale. Jimmy Smith talking to Michael Kasperitz was a case of a never quite was interviewing and almost was. Speaking about resilience, it took all of mine to make it through the interview.
He's very funny.
No, he's a dead shit.
No, you can't say that on air.
All right, I will cut it out in the edit.
Jeez.
All right. Time now to speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning, boys, and happy Father's Day to you guys and all the listeners out there. I hope everyone has a fantastic day.
You getting
same
spoiled to you, today, mate?
Sorry?
You getting spoiled today?
I just had a beautiful breakfast cooked by the father-in-law, Trevor, so a special happy Father's Day to him for such a good spread. I'm just out the front doing the ad now, so well done, Trev.
Yeah, good work, good work. Hey, what about that car last week? Tell me we sold it.
Boys, I've got to say to you, a big congratulations to Wayne Conroy from Greystanes. Wayne is a long-time listener. He came in on Friday and bought himself a 2012 Holden Cruise, which I was actually going to advertise today, but he got in very early, and he's now the new owner of that beautiful car. So well done to Wayne. He did hear the ad, but he came in and bought a different car, so good on him.
Yeah, well done. What have you got for the listeners today?
Yeah, boys, I've had to change it up today, so now I've got a tradie special. It's a 2013 Renault Kangoo van. This van is automatic. It's a one owner with logbooks and service history. It only has travelled 90,000 kilometres. It's powered by a 1.6-litre four-cylinder engine and a four-speed automatic transmission, so it's going to be very economical and reliable. And it comes standard with air conditioning, power steering, power windows, cruise control, driver's airbag, ABS brakes, brake assist, Bluetooth connectivity. Got fog lights, and this one even has the reverse camera for added safety. So if you're after a good, clean, automatic work van, then you need to look at this one. We have it on special for the listeners today. It's just $10,990. This is cheap already, but we're going to also include the transfer costs. So go to the website www.fostersqualitycars.com.au or give us a call on 96375024. And make sure you mention Sky Sports Radio to get this great drive-away price. And, boys, it is advertised for more on the website, so they've got to mention Sky Sports Radio to get the $10,990 drive-away price.
That's important. And, Scotty, you can help with finance as well.
Certainly can. If it's finance you're after, we've got access to a number of lenders. It allows us to get the best possible rates, but also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car or a truck. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work truck or car, even Uber drivers, then go to our website, www.fosterscqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call now on 96375024, and we'll get you driving that car or truck as soon as today.
You're still hanging out with Mick Appleby from the Good Truck Wholesalers?
Certainly are. So if you're after a truck, we have gone into partnership with the Good Truck Wholesalers and Mick Appleby. So we now supply trucks as well as cars to all our loyal listeners. And these are the cheapest trucks in Australia. So give us a call on 96375024 and let us know what sort of truck you're after. If we don't have one to suit, we'll go out there and find the best one available at the best possible price.
Big win for your boys yesterday.
Massive win. And I heard Dave Stanley during the week saying the Dragons were going to be favourites for that competition. I nearly rang you, Jimmy. Wenty Magpies were $151 last week to win the competition.
Okay.
And I knew everyone would have had to have got on before they beat South Sydney, who were the leaders.
Yes.
They beat them 26-16 yesterday, and I'm sure that that price to win the comp would be at least half, if not more, by now.
All right, well, we'll have a look at that. I'm just trying to get it up here. Yeah, that was a big win against the... Well, they were the table-topping South Sydney Rabbitohs, and now the Dragons have finished. So semi-finals of the New South Wales Rugby League will start next week. Good on you, Scotty. We'll sell that car again for you today, mate, or the van.
The van, boys. Yeah. We want to see it gone. Happy Father's Day to someone. It'll do them a lot of great work for a long time to come.
Fantastic.
Good on you, Scotty.
Good on you, mate. Scotty Foster there from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Make sure you have a great day, mate, Father's Day. Fostersqualitycars.com.au. The dad jokes that keep coming in. This is a sporting dad joke. I've never been to a rifle range before, so I thought I would give it a shot.
That's from your good friend.
That's from Don from Carlton. There you go. This is the one you started with. Why did the Scarecrow win an award? He was outstanding in his field.
I like that one.
That's from Stu. We've got Bob on the line who wants to have his say. G'day, Bob.
Hey, g'day.
How are you, Bob?
Yes. You hear me?
Yeah, we got you,
Bob. Fire away, mate.
Right, on rugby league. I got an idea to, all these stuff-ups.
Yes.
I reckon we should have three referees, three linesmen, a video ref, and a CNI dog. Now, the third linesman and a CNI dog sit on the bench.
Yes.
And when a referee makes a mistake,
yes,
he goes and sits on the bench, and the same applies to the linesman.
Interchange.
Now, when the video ref makes a mistake, guess who takes his place?
The seeing eye dog.
Yeah.
I like it, Bob.
Good on you, Bob.
Couldn't be any worse than the system we've got
now. Is that now. Your joke, Bob? I think Bob had a joke there.
Let's see what... That's all right.
No, I think he had a joke. Or was that it?
I think.
Have you got a joke, Bob?
The missus wanted me to ring up this morning for her, but I rang up for myself. And that was that she washed a pair of her panties out last night and hung them on the line.
Okay, all right. Okay, thanks very much, Bob. I don't know why we went back to Bob, to be honest.
where was Bob? John might have a joke for us. John, good morning.
Actually, I've got two.
Fire away, John.
And one for me.
Yep.
I went into a French restaurant, and I said to the waitress, "Have you got frog legs?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Well, hop out to the kitchen and get me some escargot."
Oh, John.
I was at the market the other day, and the fellow wanted to sell me a coffin. I said, "That's the last thing I need."
Any more, John?
I was having a dream about car mufflers. And I woke up in the morning exhausted.
He's on a roll, John.
If he's got one more, he's a massive chance to win it. John, you got another one?
Yes. Now, this is not dirty, this one, okay?
Oh, careful.
Yeah, it's not dirty. Where do women have the most curliest hair?
John?
Fiji.
Thanks, John.
John's just gone. That's a grand slam. Four in a row.
Didn't he go bang, bang, bang? Mark, good morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Good luck with this, Mark.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I was going to tell you a paper joke, but it's terrible.
Dear me. Okay, thanks, Mark.
That's good, Mark.
Have we got another one there? No, that's it. Well, I'll tell you what. This is another one that we've got came in from Don from Carlton, who's...
He's on fire this morning.
He's been quite prolific this morning. You heard about this one, Ray. My friend says, "Cheer up, mate. It could be worse. You could be stuck underground in a hole full of water." I know he means well. That was very good.
Good one from Kathy from Clapton. Nice to hear from her again. Morning, gents. The best pastries in the universe Matt's at Crookwell, 20 minutes from Goulburn. And she's seen the shorts for Michelle Payne movie like all of us. Can't wait to see it. Nice to hear from you, Kathy.
I tell you what, Trappers at Goulburn wouldn't be happy about that. Trappers at Goulburn, outstanding pastries there. So got to give them a wrap. Coming up on Racing HQ, Gary Harley goes through the meeting at Wyong. Priscilla Looker previews Maury. And, of course, remember the Big Sports Breakfast back tomorrow morning at 5.30.
Who's our winner, James?
It's a strong finish from John.
Yeah, four in a row, Grand
Four
Slam.
In a row, John. It's cleaned up. Finish. So the Winx book.
Yeah.
Negotiations.
That's up to you. I'll pass the ball.
And the Wingman beer. They'll be coming your way, John. So good on you. Now, we've got those two games today, Raymond.
What?
Sharkies and the Raiders?
Yeah, Sharks.
Sharks, I think the Sharks as
Paul
well.
Gallen.
Dragons and the Tigers.
Oh, blind faith, Dragons.